There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, saying, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. We do see, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man ascendeth up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thought after the series on Daniel that we'll be concluding tonight, we give a plain message on what the new birth is. Undoubtedly some would like to inquire about how they could be saved after listening to some messages that possibly were a little deep for some. So we want to try and go into detail as to what the new birth is. Now, there's hardly a message preached on this platform, but what some reference is made to the new birth. He must be born again. I think it was D.L. Moody, and he preached on new birth 300 times during his life. I heard of another preacher, in fact, some of you likely will know him, by the name of Lee, and every year, his church insists that he preach on that one sermon, Payday Sunday. And there are some messages that are so important, they should be preached on more often. I remember hearing a lady, and she had heard a great preacher preach on the new birth, and he preached night after night on the new birth. She went to him after the meeting, and she said, Brother so-and-so, why is it you're all the time preaching he must be born again? He says, because you must be born again. And that's it. You must be born again or never enter heaven. His only blood washed ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. And we've got to accept the Bible as to how to get to heaven. Supposing you came to me, possibly a visitor passing through, and you wanted to know the way to Leesburg. I said, straight down 19, it'll take you right into Leesburg. Well, to my amazement, you turned around and you went back this way. And you came back after an hour, somewhat angry, saying, well, I didn't find Leesburg. Well, did you go the way I told you? No, he said, I didn't like that direction. I took another road. Well, I said, don't blame me, blame yourself. You didn't follow instructions. If you'd have followed instructions, you'd arrive at Leesburg. And that's the point. God gives us a roadmap to heaven. He gives us clear and specific direction and instruction as to how to get to heaven. And friend, if you try any other way, all the detours of men, if you try a way that you think better, don't blame anyone but yourself if you turn up into a lost eternity. In a lost eternity, for God has made it plain. He has made it simple. How a man or a woman can be born again and have the absolute assurance he or she is going to be in heaven. Let us think of some of the negative answers concerning this subject. Or questions that people ask, and some of these things people are trusting in. In other words, what the new birth is not. And if you clear up some of these points, possibly it'll help us to show you what the new birth really is. And this passage is a classic on how a person may get to heaven. But I want to make this plain. The new birth is not natural birth. Now you were born into this world with a physical nature, a nature that enables you to enjoy this environment. You couldn't go to the moon without taking your breathing space with you, or that which will enable you to live on that moon. Because your body is not suitable for that atmosphere, you would soon die without oxygen. But down here, it's virtually different. You have a nature, you have a body that is perfectly at home on this planet. And so when you were born into this world, there were conditions congenial for your growth in this world, that is, of your body. And so you must have a nature, a spiritual nature, that will enable you to enjoy the presence of God. A nature that's akin to the presence of God. If a person were to go to heaven the way he is right now here, without being born again, he'd be the most miserable person in heaven. To find yourself in the presence of God without a nature that's similar to the nature of God. You must be born from above. And salvation is a partaking of the very nature of God. That's what enables a born-again Christian to enjoy some of the presence of God here. Because he has the capacity to do so. He has the very nature of God in his heart. And you receive that when you are born again. And as your first nature fits you for this world, you must have a spiritual nature to fit you for the next. You know, some people, they wouldn't be happy at all at some of the meetings that we have. Worship meeting, prayer meeting, or the meeting like this. They're not all together at home. They can endure it for 45 minutes or something like that, or an hour. But to have this day after day and week after week, praying, worshiping, listening to the Word of God, studying the Word of God, oh no, sir, they couldn't take it. Well then, if you expect to be in heaven, you better get a nature that can take conditions up there. Because that's all they're going to do in heaven. Worship the Lord, praise the Lord, and learn about our God and the great salvation He has for us. You must be born again. You must have a nature that will qualify you for the presence of God, a capacity to take in things pertaining to the presence and personality of God and His Son and the Holy Spirit. And so it's not our natural birth. You must be born again, said the Lord Jesus Christ. That physical birth is not sufficient. There's another experience you've got to have if ever you expect to be in heaven. And Christ takes that up here and explains it. And it's not christening. Not christening. Why, here's an old man. Nicodemus plainly made that clear. to be born again. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? I'm an old man. And yet some people today think that a person can go to heaven because he or she has been christened when a baby. When christening will not take anyone to heaven. Nicodemus, being an old man, Christ didn't tell him to go and be christened. Or he might have brought that argument up, but that would not suffice. And so christening is not the answer. And yet I've seen some babies get christened. Well, it's a very sentimental experience for the parents. But friend, that baby's not going to heaven because he was christened. And he's not going to hell either if he's not christened. That baby's covered by the blood of Christ until he gets to the age of responsibility. Then it's up to him or her to make his or her decision for Christ. And when that time comes, we don't know exactly what the date will be. One of these Sundays we'll possibly speak on that subject. But God knows the age may differ as to the intelligence of the child, the intelligence of the boy or girl, or the environment in which they're brought up and so on. But a baby is born in sin and must be born again later on in life. And christening will not in any way put that child on the road to heaven. A few weeks ago, someone heard a man get on the TV and tell us that babies were born sinless. I suppose you heard. Babies were born sinless. I thought that's about as ridiculous a statement as I ever heard. The Bible says that, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And they go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You say, how can a baby tell a lie? Well, some of you parents ought to know. That little baby in the crib, 6 months old, kicking up a racket, kicking its feet, screaming to high heaven, as if it's paining all over, got this tummy ache, and you go over and pick it up. And it'll stop crying and almost laugh at you. Who told that little baby to lie? Trying to give the impression it was hurting. It was smart. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. And babies are covered by the blood of Christ until they reach the age of accountability. And Christmas has nothing to do with a person getting to heaven. And this same fellow, supposed to be authority on the scriptures, said that Christ made it plain that babies were sinless. When he said, except you become as little children, and he says, little children are sinless, and except adults become as little children, they shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. How did they become sinless? Can you tell me how it could be biologically possible for two sinful people, a sinful man and a sinful woman, to produce a sinless child? Why, every child except the Lord Jesus has been born in sin. It's in our very blood. As in Adam, all of us. You know, babies would never get sick and never die if they were sinless. For that sin working in the human body to bring forth fruit unto death. And the very fact that babies get sick and some die is proof that sin is working in that little tiny body. Now, if that man had said innocent, you could have agreed with him. But that little baby was not sinless. Because it's absolutely impossible for a sinful man and a sinful woman to bring forth a sinless child. Absolutely impossible. And if you carry his argument a little further, he says adults can become like that little child if they get baptized. Baptized, if they only believe in Jesus and hurry up and stay baptized. They'll be just like that little child, they'll be sinning. Well, I tell you, I accepted Christ and got saved. I didn't become sinless. And there's not a Christian in this world right now who is sinless. And yet he says they'll become like that little child, sinless. If they'd only studied the Bible, the Lord was teaching a lesson in humility. The disciples were talking about who was going to be the greatest when Christ was just about to take the place of the lowest. And he took a little child and set the child in the midst. And that's when he said, except you become a little child, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you've got the faith, the simplicity of a little child. That's what he was talking about. Not sinlessness. But no one's so ready to believe you than a little child. And really believe you. Like Santa Claus. They believe that. And lots of other things you can tell children. They believe it. They're simple in believing. Childlike faith and humility. Humility. And Christ says, there's no getting to heaven without acknowledging before God you're a lost and guilty, hell-deserving sinner. And you have to humble yourself and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And if you exercise the faith of a little child and acknowledge your humility before God, put your faith in Christ and he'll save you. He'll save you. So Christ was teaching a lesson in humility and childlike simplicity when he said that about a child. Except you become as a little child, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so we're born in sin by our first birth into this world. Another thing, it's not confirmation. The new birth is not confirmation. Three times in the New Testament, the word confirmation is used, all in the Acts of the Apostles. In chapter 15, you find the apostle confirming the brethren. Now, he's not confirming 12-year-old boy or girl. No, he's confirming the brethren. And then later on, he's confirming the church. And he's confirming the disciples. Three times over, the word confirmation is used in the Acts of the Apostles. In every case, it refers to adults. The word confirming simply means he's giving them assurance. He's confirming them of the faithfulness of God and that God's word can be trusted. Yes, he's building them up in their most holy faith. And yet they'll take that word, confirm, and apply to a 12-year-old child. Confirm. All they're doing is confirming sinners. They're not confirming this. And yet they'll take that ordinance, if you want to call it, and use it and say that confirmation will save you. No, it will not. After you are saved, you need to be confirmed as a Christian in the sense you need to be constantly ministered unto and encouraged and assured. These things that you have in Christ are yours, and they're yours forever. And to confirm the saints, to confirm the brethren, to confirm the Christian, and confirm the churches, is to bring assurance to them and confidence that all they have is in Christ and not in themselves. Another thing, the new birth is not baptism. Certainly the new birth is not baptism. Baptism is unto death. It tells you that. We're baptized unto death. The new birth is unto life. And there's a big difference. We baptize unto death in water baptism. We'll have a baptismal service, God willing, tonight here at the chapel. And what those people are doing, they're going down and be buried, as it were, symbolic. And you notice the word figure, oftentimes in connection or likeness in the introduction and explanation of baptism. You're going down, acknowledging publicly that you've accepted Christ and you've died with Christ and buried with Christ, and now you're going to live in newness of life. And it's in figure. And here's another thing. You can't call the shots of when you can be saved. You can't say, I'm going to get saved at such a day, at such an hour. But you can call the shots when you're going to be baptized. You can set the very hour when you're going to be baptized. You can't do that about being saved. Salvation is of the Lord. And so you have here, fact, very simply put and taught in your scripture, that baptism is not salvation. And you can't show me in your Bible a place where a Gentile was baptized for the remission of sins. Only twice do you find baptism for the remission of sins, and one case it was the Jews, the other case it was the Apostle Paul. And the book of Acts is a transition from Judaism to Christianity, and you see some strange things in the Acts. The baptism of the Jews was for the remission of sin. When you come over to chapter 8, another baptism for the Samaritans, half Jews and half Gentiles, and it was different. But you come over to the 8th chapter of Acts and on to chapter 10, and you find baptism for Gentiles. And while Peter preached, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the Spirit of God quickened them, saved them, and afterwards they got baptized. As an act of obedience. And so being saved is unpredictable. No man or no woman can predict when he's going to be saved. Salvation's of the Lord. And you'll be saved in God's time, and God's time is now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But you can predict your baptism. You can call a shot in this direction as to baptism, but you can't in salvation. That goes to show, and especially when you consider what you've got in this passage, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, thou canst not tell whether it cometh, whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. The new birth is a work of the Spirit of God, it's like the wind. You just don't know when. The exact time when you're going to be saved. You'll get saved when you admit you're lost. And if you admit that right now, God will save you. The Spirit of God will quicken. But as to any time in the future, you're seeking to say, I'm going to get saved in such and such a time, in such and such a place. That depends entirely upon the Spirit of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Then again, salvation of the new birth is not the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper is a wonderful meaning, to partake of the bread and wine in memory of the Lord, but in no way do you see that associated with the new birth. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are things you do after you are saved. After you are saved. And so, the new birth is not the Lord's Supper, and it's not joining the church. A lot of people think that they join the church, that's it. They're born again. No. You've got to be born by the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. Why Nicodemus thought if he would be born physically over a second time, he'd be a different man. He said, how can a man when he's old enter the second time his mother womb will be born? And Christ made it plain to him. But that's not possible. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Why, if you could be born physically a dozen times, Nicodemus, you'd still be a sinner. Every time you're born from sinful parents, you're going to be a sinner. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. any kind you would be born physically, if it were possible. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You have two words there, the physical and the spirit. And it's not regular attendance of church. No, it's nice to see people regular in their attendance. But going regularly to the church, that's not the new birth. And some folks say, well, reading the Bible is a new birth. Well, it's a wonderful thing to read the Bible. Many have been born again, saved when they've read the Bible. But just reading it is a matter of routine. Or you feel it's your duty to read it every day. That in itself is not a new birth. You know, it's strange how intelligent, educated men make absolute fools of themselves by a ridiculous attempt to explain away the new birth, and they say, well, I'll tell you what it is. And actually, I've heard this. When people have come and gotten saved at our meetings, and they've had a visit from their preacher, he tried to tell them that the new birth was a person reading the Bible, and they got a new thought. Now, the same thing can be applied to the second coming, as we said a few weeks ago, that they try and say the second coming is a thought about the Lord. I don't see how an intelligent person can believe that. Just say that if you get a thought and you see something in the Bible you never saw before, that's being born again. Now, when a child was born into your family, that was no thought. It was a very lively and noisy thought, if it were. When that child was born into your family, it certainly means a new personality came into this world, into your home, and into your heart. And salvation, the new birth, is a new personality. The reception of a new personality, not the reception of a thought, but the reception of a new personality, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and he that hath the Son hath life. And so this is the new birth. The implantation of a life from God. We are partakers of the divine nature. And every time a person is saved, that person receives a little bit of God's nature. The Bible says that. They cannot sin over in 1 John 3:9, I think is when he refers to. They cannot sin because they are born of God. Now, God is referring to the new life that cannot sin. And when a Christian is born again, he's got two natures. He has the fleshly one from his first birth. Now, when he accepts Christ, he's got a spiritual birth, a spiritual nature. And the apostle takes that up in Galatians, how he says, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. So we cannot do the things that we would. And after you get saved, you're going to have a little bit of struggle because the old nature wants to go his old sinful way and keep the old sinful company and go to the old sinful places. That's the old nature. But now you've got a new life in Christ that has new appetites, spiritual appetites, and wants to learn spiritual things and wants to learn about spiritual persons and wants to fellowship with spiritual people. This new change, this new life. That's what it is to be born again, to receive Christ. And Christ comes into your heart, it's a new life. And in your heart, nestled, like as in a cradle, nestled in your heart, is a new life, a babe in Christ. Unto you, we say at Christmas time when we quote that text, unto you is born this day, not in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, but unto you is born this very minute of your person, in your heart, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How wonderful when you know that Jesus Christ is cradled in your heart, and he's there to stay. He's there to stay. And so the new birth is not reading your Bible, although many have gotten saved reading it, because over in 1 Peter 1:23 it says, we're born again by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so the Word of God is one of the parents in connection with the new birth. And it's not a resolve to do one's duty. Say, well, I've got to do my duty. I've got to be faithful to my employer. I've got to be faithful to my country. I've got to be faithful to my family. And they think that if they're loyal, that's all that's going to require, be faithful to my church. But that's it. That's the new birth. No, it is not the new birth. It's not the new birth. And some say reformation is the new birth. Turn over new leaf. Try to live a better life. A different life. Well, friend, you can take a bucket of paint, two or three colors if you wish, and paint a pump. And you paint the main part of the pump a nice color, and you paint the handle another color, and you paint the base another color. You certainly have changed that pump from an old rusty pump, and it looks very good. But I'll tell you, that water down there is just the same. It's unfit to drink. And a person can turn over a new leaf, start going to church, and reform his life. That's not going to do anything in the heart. The new birth is something that takes place in the human heart. And to clean up outside is not going to affect the inside. The new birth is something that takes place in your heart. Make no mistake about that. Reformation. Turning over new leaf. Making yourself appear unto men outwardly. But God looketh on the heart. That's the point. And it's not culture. There are a lot of culture people in the world. But being born again is not being cultured or desiring to be cultured. No, the new birth is spiritual. It's the deposit in your little heart and soul of a nature from God. No man can receive anything except it is given him from above. That applies to new birth. No man can receive anything. That is true, except to be given him from above. And God has got to give you that new life for salvation of the Lord. You take the various kingdoms, the mineral kingdom. Well, the mineral kingdom can't force its way into the vegetable kingdom. But the vegetable kingdom can go down and lay hold upon the mineral and absorb it. And the vegetable kingdom can't force its way into the animal kingdom, like into the cow or the horse, but the animal kingdom, like the cow, can reach down and eat that grass and absorb it, and therefore it's absorbing, first of all, the minerals into the vegetable kingdom and the vegetable kingdom into the animal kingdom. And the animal kingdom can't reach up and force itself into a human being, that's impossible. But a human being certainly can benefit from what the cow has absorbed in the grass. And the grass has profited from what it has gotten out of the earth minerals. But there's no such thing as man forcing himself into the kingdom of God. No more than a vegetable could force itself into the animal, or the animal force itself into a human being. You've got to receive this from above. Now, the plant can go down and lay hold of the minerals. And the animal can go down and lay hold of the grass. And man can take the animal and eat it. That's in the same thing with God. God has to lay hold upon us. Salvation is from above. Man cannot elevate himself. He can't take these various steps upward. No, God has got to reach down and save you. Salvation is of the Lord. There's no such thing as forcing yourself into the kingdom of God. It's free. And God will save you the moment you acknowledge you're lost, you're guilty, you're helpless, and you are undone. And salvation, that is the new birth, is not good works. Now, good works are after salvation. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto good works. A person can show afterwards that he's become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Christ said to those Pharisees, you say you're the children of Abraham, then do the works of Abraham. You say you're a child of God, you've been born again, then do the works of God. That's the point. It's Christ that worketh in you, both the willing to do all his good pleasure. You've got to have Christ in you if you're going to live a Christian life. The reason some people try and fail time and time again to live the Christian life is they're trying to do it in their own strength instead of in the power that Christ gives them. And it's Christ living in me. The apostle said that very clearly. And the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, and he made it plain that day after day he was dying to self, but he was living unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ living in and through me. And so the new birth is certainly not good work. Although good works is the expression of a new life, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away and all things become new. Now this new birth, God will accept no substitutes. I've mentioned about 12 substitutes. God won't accept one of them. There can be no substitute for the new birth. God has made that very, very plain in his word. Except a man be born again, and Christ says it here in this passage, except a man be born again, he cannot. And when God says cannot, he means cannot. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter. He cannot see the kingdom of God. How forceful are these words from the lips of the Son of God? You cannot enter him. You'll never see inside the door unless you're born again. So except the man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's an absolute impossibility. God will accept no substitute. You could give God a million of money. God is not interested in your money. The cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. You can't buy salvation. There's no substitute for the new birth. Not only is the new birth, you cannot have a substitute for it, it is essential. It's absolutely essential. If you ever expect to get to heaven, you've got to have this experience. God will not accept anything is a substitute. This is essential. And furthermore, I want to say this, it is sufficient. Absolutely sufficient. All you have to do is be born again, and you're born into the family of God, and that is sufficient to take you through to heaven. Make no mistake about that. You become a child in the family of God. And you'll stay in that family. So God has all his family home with him in yonder glory. It's sufficient to take you right through. I've heard people say, well, I've seen people say they were Christians and they did this and they did that and the other thing. Yeah, they might have said they're Christians. But this is the point. Are they Christians? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. A lot of people who say they're Christians and don't live it are a disgrace. The word Christianity. if you boil it right down, and the Lord knows them that are his, I don't believe we're even saved at all. And that has turned out many and many a time in my experience. People who made a profession, and you make salvation simple. If they've got any intelligence, they can see almost the mathematics of it. Substitution. They can see that. One dying for another, and they are sent to it. But there's been no change of heart. And it's only the change of heart, the new life, that will abide the temptations of time and see you through to the end. And so, this is sufficient to save you. And it's not a physical change. It doesn't have to do with your body. It's not a social change, in one sense. Although you do enter into a new society, it's not a geographical change. It's a spiritual change. Going over that again, it's not a physical change. I know people. In fact, I visited a man this past week. I thought he was going to die right there at the table. And he was saved here about 6 or 7 weeks ago. Now, he's an ill man. He'd like to get baptized, but he just can't. He's too ill. The doctor wouldn't permit him. Now, when he got saved, when he trusted Christ, he didn't get a new body. A lot of people would like that. But I want to say this, after you get saved, you're going to reap for the things you sowed before you were saved. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Many a Christian today is suffering because of things he did or she did before they came to Christ. And so the new birth doesn't change the process of sin in your body. You'll get the new body when Jesus comes, and only then. And furthermore, it's a social change. People really like a step up in society. Well, I don't know any society that's any higher or more heavenly than the society of the saints of God, do you? God's people, he calls them the excellent of the earth, in whom is all his delight. The Christian belongs to the aristocracy of the skies. They're the blood born of the Spirit of God. If you can tell me any fellowship better than the fellowship of God's people here on earth, I'd like to see. I'd like to see. And so, as far as this society of this life, that doesn't have a thing to do with a new birth. It's not a social change in that respect. But you do find new society. And then again, it's not a geographical change. Going from one state to another, one country to another. I heard a person say not too long ago they wished they could go to Jerusalem. They thought if they could go to Jerusalem and see the exact place where the Lord Jesus walked, where he prayed, under the olive tree, that possibly they could be saved. Why, the impression would be real to them. Then you can be saved just as well right here. There's a whole lot of sentiment associated with that. But it's a case of taking God's naked word by faith and believing what God says, and you shall be saved. Thus you have this new birth. The implantation of a new life in your heart. And when that takes place, you become a new creature. You're a child of God. You're destined for heaven, and you save forever. He doesn't say except the man be born again, and again, and again, and again. Wonder. Wonder. I was born into the family of Mr. and Mrs. George Rose. They had their hands full. I tell you, many a time I got whipped. Both from my mother and my father. My mother whipped me quite often. When my father attacked me, mother couldn't keep him away. He didn't know when to stop. But I, many a time, was a disobedient boy, and I got whipped. Now, my parents didn't disown me. Don't any of you tell me that you've got an innocent, little baby, oh, so innocent, never does anything wrong. You know, it's amusing. I wish I'd have made account of all the parents and grandparents who said they, I'm not saying it because of my child. In fact, we were young, smartest young as you ever saw. Don't you kid yourself. The greatest criminal that ever lived was once the darling of its mother's heart. Because of a fallen nature in there. And God, when a person becomes his child by the new birth, if you stray or disobey, God will whip you. And if he doesn't whip you, it's an indication you're not his. And he used a strong word over in Hebrews 12, then are they bastards and not sons. They're not comfort you. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So here's the new birth. That's my introduction. I never get further on my introduction. So we'll finish it up next week in detail. Showing you what the new birth is not. And yet we still enough to show you the positive side. What it is. Salvation is the reception of the life of God into your soul, planted by the Holy Spirit. And you become a new creature. And I'll tell you, you know. You've been born again. People right next door to me had a little baby born to them a couple of months ago, but they did not tell me there was a baby in there. And I'll tell you, if you come to know Christ and there's a new life in here and a baby in Christ, folks around you are going to hear. They'll hear. They'll hear your testimony. They'll hear your prayer. And this life is so lively. The new life in Christ has got to let it out. It's got to let it out. If you're not a Christian, will you come to Christ and come right now? Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask thy blessing upon thy word. May those here today who have never experienced the new birth do so by opening their heart wide and receiving the Savior. And Christ will come in. For thou hast said thyself, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.